Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 15 today. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. In his book, The Holiness of Grace, Brian Chappell tells a story that is one, given the number of years that I've been in the ministry, I've seen more than I care to count. Different names, different places, but the same story. It seems that a young man decided to call his pastor and ask for a meeting with him. And as they sat down for breakfast one morning, they came together and he started talking about how he had gone to a convention with a coworker and they stayed too long at a bar and one thing led to another and he was confessing to his pastor. The pastor took a deep breath and thought about the wife who was expecting a child and with two others at home along the way as well, and how their lives would be turned upside down by the husband's infidelity. So the pastor began asking the young man questions, helping him to think through what he needed to do going forward. He spoke to the young man about his relationship with the Lord and his need to confess his sins and to seek forgiveness from God. He spoke to the young man about how he needed to sever the relationship with the other person and to set up boundaries around his life. He talked to him about how he needed to contritely come before his wife and seek to mend and reconcile the relationship. And he even went so far as to remind the young man that he probably needed to go see a doctor and have tests to make sure that he wasn't bringing anything home that shouldn't be there. He poured out his life, his heart to this young man because he cared so much for him. And when the pastor finished, the young man pushed his plate away and said, "Wow, I came for grace and all I got was discipline. I'm so disappointed in you, Pastor." As you can imagine, his words cut the pastor's heart to the quick. And it wasn't that the pastor wondered whether what he said was right or not. He knew that it was. What caused the pastor then and causes most pastors who care the struggle is, what is it that we have said? What is it we might have done in the past that could have led such an intelligent Christian young man to think that somehow God's promises did not require responsibility or accountability? The pastor was surprised at how quickly the young man became more focused on accusing the pastor of hypocrisy than taking absolute responsibility for his actions. As I said, I've seen that more often than I care to count in different places. The Christian faith, of course, like no other, emphasizes grace, emphasizes freedom, the freedom we've been given in Christ. No matter how rebellious we are, how repeatedly or how shamelessly we sin, if we confess our sins, He is gracious to forgive us our sins. Confess our sins is crucial to this process. And that forgiveness is not something that we've earned. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something we are entitled to. And the older I get, the more I understand that. But there's a problem, an inherent problem in this world with grace and freedom. The world around us defines freedom as no accountability, no responsibility. But the purpose of grace and freedom is to bring us into a greater relationship with God and with those around us, which requires boundaries, which is never used with the word freedom in our culture. Read with me Galatians 5, 13 through 15. "For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Father, we pray that your word would ring true, that your spirit would challenge us and enable us to rejoice in the freedom that has been given to us by Christ. For freedom, Christ has set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the first story was a bit sad, to be sure. I want to tell you another one straight out of the scriptures. Jesus was teaching in the temple one day. Everything was going well. You know, people loved to hear Jesus teach until they didn't. But everything was going well. Then the Pharisees and the scribes dragged this woman in to the midst of Jesus, who they said they caught in the act of adultery. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" Well, first, you got to love it. He said nothing. People get uncomfortable in silence, especially when you know you're in the wrong. So first he said nothing. Okay? Perhaps he was writing in the sand. And in the midst of that silence, they would have been uncomfortable and they would have pressed him for more answers. And so what did he say? "Let him who is without sin among you, be the first to throw a stone at her." And then what did he do? Sat back down and started writing in the sand. One by one, the crowd dissipated to where it was just her and Jesus left. Then he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And of course, if this is 21st century America, we'd expect that this is what Jesus would say to her. "I do not condemn you either. So don't let these legalists get you down. Just follow your heart. Be true to your truth. You'll be fine. Believe in yourself. Love yourself. Live the way you want." That's the culture in which we live. Your truth, my truth, everybody's truth. Old MacDonald had a truth. I don't know. But that's not, of course, what Jesus said. He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Responsibility, accountability, but grace first. God's idea of freedom and ours doesn't necessarily match. We see freedom as the casting off of restrictions, but God's freedom is purposeful, it's wise, it's liberating. But it has a specific definition, it has a specific standard, and it has boundaries. We all love our houses. We feel so safe and secure in our homes because we have established boundaries. Boundaries are good. God gives us the best. God's grace gives us great freedom. Not so that we can live loose lives, that is, lives based on ourselves, but deeper ones. But we're hard-headed. And as we've been looking through this letter to Galatians, they are the hard-headedest of us all, right? You know, none of us can compare to how hard-headed these Galatians are. But he continues to remind them and us how hard-headed we are, and how easily swayed we are. So he continues to remind us what it is to be free in Christ. Verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Freedom. Last week we talked about how what we've been freed from and what we've been freed for. What we've been freed from was the condemning power of the law, the continuing power of the law, as well as the confusion that surrounds the law. We were freed to stand firm. We were free to not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We were free to love one another. For freedom, Christ has set us free, Paul said last week. And this week he says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. You were appointed. You were chosen. You were anointed by God to be free. By God's decree. Christ defined that freedom for us when he said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I tell you the truth, anyone who continually sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no place, no permanent place in the family, but a son. Now, a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And you remember last week, Paul held out hope for the Galatians, not because they might or might not make the right choices, but because God promised that those who believed would be free in the Lord. And that's God's promise that all this tinges on. Paul defined freedom for us last week, as I said, faith working through love. Now, this is a freedom that's deeper. It leads to a deeper life rather than a looser one, one that's so consumed with itself. That's why he says, as he continues, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So freedom has boundaries. It has to have any meaning. There has to be definition. There has to be a standard, which by its very nature requires boundaries, God's boundaries. So we must understand we've had these boundaries for a long time. We started out with the Ten Commandments that gave us clarity for those who are Christians, or those who would be elect. It was a guardian for us that gave us clarity looking towards life. It was judgment for those who weren't. But for those of us who are elect, it gave us the boundary from which to work. And then Jesus said, oh, by the way, it's hard to remember 10 commandments, right? So he says, let's sum it all up, because you all have such a hard time remembering stuff. So you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So there's always been boundaries within the freedom that we have in Christ. It's not new. But to desire to know God and to do what he says, that's what is freedom with purpose. Freedom is a great thing, but true freedom brings with it responsibility and accountability and maturity. Some people, I get this from time to time, if God would just be clear what he expects from me. You know, and I'm not sure what that means, because are they saying they want God to say, y'all just pray for 20 minutes, not 10 or not 30, pray for 20 minutes, or just one, maybe two beers, or you need to dress this way to come to church, or I'm not sure what kind of clarity we're talking about, but the more clarity we have, problem is that God is clear. And it's still not affecting us, right? God tells us how to live, what to do, within that structure, he gives us freedom and grace to live that way. For without that grace, there would only be condemnation. But he gives us all that we need if we were, what did he say earlier in the psalm? If my people would do what? Listen to me. How hard is that? It's the hardest thing that we have to do. Why? Because the last person we want to listen to is anybody but ourselves. We're Galatians. We're Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. Loose living leads to confusion. And uselessness. That one of the best illustrations I've heard, and I don't remember where I picked this up, but I love it because I can't play the guitar. But Think of a guitar string. What can you do with a guitar string if it's just a single string? What's its purpose? Its purpose is to make music, right? Well, if you don't have a guitar to put that string in, you can swing it around until you get dizzy. You can hit people with it. I mean, it hurts, especially when you hit yourself while you're swinging around. You can't tie anything up with it because what happens with a guitar string? It automatically unties itself. It's pretty useless, except for what it was meant to be used for, which that uselessness is a way to define worldly freedom, if you will. But if you bind that string tightly to the guitar and you tune it and it's played with 5 or 11 other strings, it creates music because that's what it was created to do. There was freedom in that connection, being bound, being tuned, and being free to do what we were created to do, to resonate God's will together with his people. Doing God's will and God's law, no, it's not something that we can simply be imposed upon us from the outside. It's now defining who we are. And Christ has set us free. Free with a purpose, verses 14 through 15. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. The end of verse 13 actually begins to tell us the purpose of freedom. Through love, serve one another. For freedom, Christ has set you free. For freedom, we're set free to do something. Through love, serve one another. Paul defined that for us last week. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. This freedom is God, this is freedom's purpose, to love God and to love one another. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. We all know people like that. I've been people like that. Love is patient, however. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. Wow. None of us in here are ever irritable, right? It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Because love never ends. So there's obviously a close relationship between freedom and love. How do we experience this freedom in Christ? What's the answer to that question? Serve God and serve one another. Or serve one another, and hence you are serving God. Service is the way we experience freedom in Christ. Freedom is the environment where love finds its fullest expression. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. True freedom. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to question. Paul reiterates what he says here for those of us who are hard-headed by saying, the entire law, or the whole law, is fulfilled in one word, in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. How does that work? Well, if we love and serve others with a heart of freedom that God has given us, we understand our purpose, and by doing so, we are loving God, glorifying him and enjoying him. If that guitar string could get pleasure, it would get pleasure in making others happy. For that is what it was created to do, to make music with the other strings so that the audience of one or the audience of many could rejoice. True freedom is found and experienced in service, just like Christ shows us throughout the Gospels. And it wasn't just about washing the feet of his followers, but his message was one of service of self-sacrifice throughout. Isn't it interesting that the only alternative, however, that God offers to this freedom is the law of the jungle? Dog eat dog. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. In other words, if we fail to submit to this freedom in Christ that is based in love and service to one another, it only leaves us as one other option. We will seek to destroy those around us. And those around us will seek to destroy us. Those are the only two options we have here. Service in love or destruction. It's not a life to which you were called. It's not a life to which I was called. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For you were called to freedom. Paul is saying that you're truly free when we love others by not violating God's law. Seems like such a stark statement, but Paul himself says it. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. And where does the neighbor begin? The neighbor begins here, begins in our homes, begins with our loved ones, begins with each other, and then works itself out to the world around us. But it begins here, begins in our own homes. How we treat one another is crucial. The law is God's grandest purpose for our living free in Christ. The law of love, that is God's grandest purpose for us living free in Christ. Now, of course, no Christian perfectly makes the right choices or makes the right decisions going forward. We're all in need of continual forgiveness. But our choices are not insignificant. None of them. I think we grade our choices insignificance, but none of them are insignificant. God gives us freedom in Christ because our choices do matter. What you choose to do with your freedom in Christ reveals the truth about the direction and the devotion of your heart, direction of your life and the devotion of your heart. If you choose to use your freedom as an opportunity for flesh, that defines who you are. If we choose to love and serve one another, that defines our direction and our devotion. God's freedom, God's grace gives us great freedom. Not so that we can live looser lives, but so that we can live deeper ones for Him and one another. God's grace gives us the freedom with purpose to serve Him, to serve others, and by serving others by His grace, we end up loving Him. You know, people say you're not supposed to use circular logic. Thank you. There's some things in my brain that still aren't working, but circular, but that's the way it works. We love, and we end up loving and serving the Lord as well. Now, I know that everyone's not on the same page. It seems like there are just some people in the world that are dead set to cause us problems. They're always seeking to retaliate against us, whether they're in the church or outside the church. But true freedom is not only responsible and accountable, but it's also intentional. How we respond to how people treat us and approach us. We can choose to live the way Christ says within His boundaries because of the Spirit that is within us. The truly contentious are very small people. Someone once said, any man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. I know it's hard to follow the kinds of rules and commands that God gives us. I'm not saying that I've attained it myself and the measure that I need myself, but let's not live small lives on purpose. Let's live lives in the fullness of Christ's freedom, serving others. Let's go and serve others from a heart of love. That in that is true freedom. Seeking to love others. and to serve one another. That's where we find our greatest freedom. Whether they accept it or not, it's not the point. We got missionaries all over the world that continue to work, and the people that they're serving really don't care much for them. And yet they still work because they're faithful. It's like Paul. Scott and I, we get, you know, we don't hear a lot of encouragement from time to time as pastors, but that's okay. Our job is to be faithful. We get to see products that you all can't even imagine. So whether you say it, we get to see it, and I'm not sure which is better. Well, I know which is better. But it's that whole concept of seeing how that all works together, that serving. Freedom is found at the end of the day, being able to look Christ in the face and saying, you know, in the face of adversity, we made it because of your grace in us. We've been set free for a purpose, not to take our gift of freedom for granted or to treat others the way we want to treat them, but we've been set free. That freedom is seen by all in how we love and serve others. So if the Son has set us free, we are free indeed. Free for a purpose, to serve others, to serve the Lord, and by hence showing love to the Lord. For we were called to freedom. We were called by Him, His decree. So by our love, all men will know that we are His disciples and that we are free. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word that continues to remind us of the realities of life. We try to make them up, but your word continues to remain true. Your word continues to remind us what's true. Your word continues to remind us of what we are and how we are to live within the boundaries of the freedom that we have in Christ to bring you glory, to bring you honor in all that we do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.